Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Wednesday, March 16th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, City, Bush Center repair process underway. Demolition taking place, flooding cause still under investigation. By Stuart Doreen. City officials are halfway through the demolition phase to areas of the Bush Convention Center impacted by the February flooding event. The city reported the cause of the flooding is still under investigation, but early removal of the convention center floor is allowing investigators to compile more information about what led to the flooding that has shut down the convention center for the last month. Still, the city reported, we are not able to identify a timeline for reopening at this time. We will know more once the repair phase is laid out and when supplies are available. On February 15th, the city reported that, quote, several inches of water, unquote, had entered the Bush Convention Center after a water main break at the south end of the building. The city reported that the process with its insurance company, Texas Municipal League Intergovernmental Risk Pool, has started. The city reported it has filed a claim with TML and that the current deductible is $25,000. The insurance company recommended Synergy NDS, a pre-approved vendor, to provide recovery management and disaster recovery services as part of its turnkey recovery program, which helps expedite the cleanup and repair process. Following a bidding process, Synergy NDS awarded work to Vanco Construction for the demolition phase, which started March 2nd and is expected to last approximately 4 weeks, according to the city. The demo phase includes work on two floors, the city reported. Thus far, they have already demoed and removed approximately 1,900 square feet of concrete on the first floor. This allows the engineers to assess how much structural attention is needed before replacing the floor. Removal and replacement of tile on the first floor will be needed. City officials also reported that the ceiling sheetrock demolition has been completed in the basement area and that the crew has started the demolition of the stairwell walls. Work on the offices also is expected to take place because of damage to electronics and office furniture, the city reported. Once the demo phase is complete, Synergy will move to the restore phase, the city reported. City officials previously stated that insurance will help cover any damages that happen because of the flooding, whether that has to do with flooring, electrical, or structural. The city also stated that the Midland Chamber of Commerce and Bush Convention Center staff continue to work with those that have events scheduled to find alternative venues. This article is entitled UT System. More students at UTPB to have tuition covered. New $300 million endowment to build on Board of Regents' ongoing support of UTPB students, faculty. By the Midland Reporter-Telegram. Odessa. More students at the University of Texas Permian Basin will have tuition covered thanks to a change in a tuition assistance program. UT System and university officials reported Tuesday that the new Falcon Free program will cover tuition and fees for students whose adjusted gross family income is $100,000 or less a year. In West Texas, more than 70% of households have an average income below $100,000. UTPB's previous tuition assistance program for students covered tuition and fees for students whose adjusted gross family income was $60,000 or less a year. UTPB officials report the change will make it possible for 700 additional students to have their entire tuition covered. I am thankful for the generous endowment from UT System, which will make earning a degree from UTPB more obtainable than ever before, UTPB's President Sandra Woodley said. Falcon Free will remove the debt and loans barrier for so many students in West Texas and our region. Students will now have the opportunity to earn a UT System degree for free, which will ultimately transform their lives. We cannot wait to see the impact this initiative will have on our community for years to come. It was reported Tuesday that the reason for the change was that the UT System Board of Regents approved the creation of a new $300 million endowment, Promise Plus, to reduce the cost of higher education for undergraduate students and their families at 7 UT academic institutions, including UTPB. The Promise Plus endowment, which will make distributions to institutions annually, is expected to generate about $1 million for UTPB this year, making it comparable to a $22 million endowment that will distribute tuition relief funds in perpetuity. Falcon Free is available to Texas residents pursuing their undergraduate degree either on campus or online. Students are automatically considered for Falcon Free funding simply by applying to UTPB and filling out the FAFSA-TASFA. Funding from the Promise Plus Endowment will add to the $56.8 million that the Board of Regents has invested in UTPB over the last 10 years alone to help meet the workforce needs of a growing region that is one of the largest oil and gas producing centers in the world. In just the last decade, Regents contributed more than $39 million toward facilities to support education and research at UTPB, including construction of the kinesiology building to house classrooms, faculty offices, and labs for kinesiology and athletic training majors, construction of an engineering building to provide space for classrooms, instructional labs, research endeavors, administrative offices, and student support services, improvements and repairs to numerous other facilities, including the STEM Academy Charter School. On top of that, Regents have provided $9.6 million to fund additional major repairs and upgrades to buildings, lab equipment, and the addition of new technology and improvements to provide critical campus infrastructure. Regents have also allocated $8 million in the past decade to recruit and retain 25 notable UTPB faculty members through the successful STARS, Science and Technology Acquisition and Retention Program. Historically, STAR recipients have generated additional research grants. Full-time undergraduate students who are Texas residents and qualify for the need-based aid will be eligible to receive Promise Plus funds, which will be used to supplement federal and state aid, such as Pell Grants and Texas Grants. This article is called Small Bites, Local St. Patrick's Day Guide. Robert Earl Keane, Josh Abbott Band, More to Perform During Music Fest, by J.C. Lewis. St. Patrick's Downtown Midland Blick Party will be presented by Pi Social and Low Street Books from 5 to 10 p.m. Thursday. The event will have a special performance by Rich O'Toole. The event will feature drinks, food trucks, a VIP tent, and a Best Dressed Leprechaun contest with a winning prize of $500. The event will be located on West Wall Street in downtown. Tickets are $15 to $100. Tickets can be purchased at eventbrite.com. Sip House will host a St. Patrick's Day celebration from 4 p.m. to midnight Thursday. The event will have specialty cocktails, beer, and charcuterie boards. Tall City Brewing Company will celebrate St. Patrick's Day with a party from noon to 10 p.m. Thursday at the brewery. The event will have green beer, a special beer release, and limited edition St. Patty's t-shirts. Eccentric Brewing Company will host a St. Patrick's Day party with Treaty Oak Revival. The event will feature the Kitchen by Laurie food truck, and Keto Mike will be on site. The concert will start at 8 p.m. Thursday. Tickets are available at eccentric-brewing-co.ticketleap.com. Rich O'Toole, with special guest Stephen Morgan, will perform Thursday at the Mule Barn Cantina. The bar will also have $3 draft green beer and $5 green tea shots. General admission is $10, and reserved tables are $100. Torino's Pizza Bar will hold a St. Patrick's Day party with DJ Redbeard 432. The event starts at 9 p.m. Thursday. Club Oasis is hosting a St. Patrick's Day fiesta at 4 p.m. Thursday at 3101 Bankhead Highway. Leprechaun shirts and hats are encouraged. Glitz and Glitter will hold a St. Patrick's Day party from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday at 1025 North Midkiff Road. The event will feature treats, green drinks, and discounts from Distinctively Yours, Glitz and Glitter, and Sassy Sally's Closet. Celebrate St. Patty's Week at Twin Peaks Restaurant in Odessa until Thursday. There will be a St. Patty's Day costume party, green beer, and whiskey. Max St. Patrick's Day Music Fest will be Saturday, starting at 2 p.m. at Centennial Park. The music festival will feature Robert Earl Keen, Josh Abbott Band, William Clark Green, John Bowman, and the State Line Band. The event will also have a cornhole tournament. General admission is $50, and the cornhole tournament is $100 for a team of two. To purchase tickets, visit roadhousetickets.com. Jimmy T's Drive-Thru is serving up new St. Patrick's Day-inspired shakes, including Mint Chocolate Chip Shake, Oreo Mint Chocolate Shake, Lucky Charms Shake, and a Pistachio Shake. Teanergy locations will serve up a pot of gold tea flavored with a pineapple and mango, Irish flag, a delicious citrus tea, and raga matcha, a combination of healthy with the raga and matcha tea during March. The Bites. This week, the Blue Door will feature the Zelensky cocktail of Bacardi rum, lime, orgeat, pineapple, and blue curacao. 50% of proceeds from the cocktail will be donated to Sava's Safe Haven, a Romanian animal shelter that is now assisting refugees with their pets as they cross the border from Ukraine. The rescue is providing food, leashes, crates, and vet care, as well as shelter for animals until owners are able to find a safe place to stay. Additional donations to the rescue will also be taken when requested. The Shack in the Back is now hiring bartenders and barbacks for the 2022 season. This article is entitled UT System: More Students at UTPB to Have Tuition Covered. New $300 million endowment to build on Board of Regents' ongoing support of UTPB students, faculty. By the Midland Reporter Telegram. Odessa. More students at the University of Texas Permian Basin will have tuition covered thanks to a change in a tuition assistance program. UT System and university officials reported Tuesday that the new Falcon Free program will cover tuition and fees for students whose adjusted gross family income is $100,000 or less a year. In West Texas, more than 70% of households have an average income below $100,000. UTPB's previous tuition assistance program for students covered tuition and fees for students whose adjusted gross family income was $60,000 or less a year. UTPB officials report the change will make it possible for 700 additional students to have their entire tuition covered. I am thankful for the generous endowment from UT System, which will make earning a degree from UTPB more obtainable than ever before, UTPB's President Sandra Woodley said. Falcon Free will remove the debt and loans barrier for so many students in West Texas and our region. Students will now have the opportunity to earn a UT system degree for free, which will ultimately transform their lives. We cannot wait to see the impact this initiative will have on our community for years to come. It was reported Tuesday that the reason for the change was that the UT System Board of Regents approved the creation of a new $300 million endowment, Promise Plus, to reduce the cost of higher education for undergraduate students and their families at 7 UT academic institutions, including UTPB. The Promise Plus endowment, which will make distributions to institutions annually, is expected to generate about $1 million for UTPB this year, making it comparable to a $22 million endowment that will distribute tuition relief funds in perpetuity. Falcon Free is available to Texas residents pursuing their undergraduate degree either on campus or online. Students are automatically considered for Falcon Free funding simply by applying to UTPB and filling out the FAFSA-TASFA. Funding from the Promise Plus Endowment will add to the $56.8 million that the Board of Regents has invested in UTPB over the last 10 years alone to help meet the workforce needs of a growing region that is one of the largest oil and gas producing centers in the world. In just the last decade, Regents contributed more than $39 million toward facilities to support education and research at UTPB, including construction of the kinesiology building to house classrooms, faculty offices, and labs for kinesiology and athletic training majors, construction of an engineering building to provide space for classrooms, instructional labs, research endeavors, administrative offices, and student support services, improvements and repairs to numerous other facilities, including the STEM Academy Charter School. On top of that, Regents have provided $9.6 million to fund additional major repairs and upgrades to buildings, lab equipment, and the addition of new technology and improvements to provide critical campus infrastructure. Regents have also allocated $8 million in the past decade to recruit and retain 25 notable UTPB faculty members through the successful STARS Science and Technology Acquisition and Retention Program. Historically, STAR recipients have generated additional research grants. Full-time undergraduate students who are Texas residents and qualify for the need-based aid will be eligible to receive Promise Plus funds, which will be used to supplement federal and state aid, such as Pell Grants and Texas Grants. This is the transportation page. This article is entitled, How Interstate 27 Will Impact Midland-Odessa Remains to Be Seen. Ports to Plains Officials. Interstate 27 became official on Tuesday. By Stuart Doreen. Interstate 27 became official on Tuesday as President Biden signed into law the appropriation bill, according to officials with the Ports to Plains Alliance. How I-27 will impact Midland-Odessa remains to be seen. The interstate is expected to connect border crossings along the Texas-Mexico border, Laredo, Eagle Pass, and Del Rio, with the Panhandle region of the state. James Beecham of the Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance, MOTRAN, stated Tuesday that the corridor will have a route that goes through Midland. That route, he said, was key, as 80% of the economic impact of I-27 is connecting Midland and Odessa to Lubbock. Receiving the interstate designation is the first step to begin fundraising for the extension of I-27, according to the press release. Beecham told Reporter-Telegram that I-27 provides an opportunity for the Midland-Odessa region to benefit from highway upgrades associated with the I-27 designation. Beecham said he is cautiously optimistic that money put into the project will go where it needs to go. He said, if the project is scored the way the Texas Department of Transportation typically scores projects, quote, we will do very well, unquote. Any improvements to highways in and around Midland because of I-27 will add to the progress expected to be made to highways in the region. A long-term project to improve and expand Interstate 20 has started. Motran also announced in November that Interstate 14, connecting West Central Texas with Midland-Odessa, became law. Midland-Odessa's location right in the heart of the nation's most significant oil patch is a reason for all three projects receiving attention, it has been reported. Establishing a four-lane federal highway for I-27 is a game-changer for our economy and quality of life in West Texas for decades to come, and will strengthen our food security and energy independence for the entire country, said Jody Arrington, U.S. Representative for District 19, in the press release. This article is called Business in Brief. It is entitled Southwest, Worker Shortage Hampers Growth, from Bloomberg. While its peers are slowing growth in flying to address rising fuel costs, Southwest Airlines Company has an additional reason, a shortage of workers. The carrier's second quarter capacity will decline 7% from 2019 levels due to challenges with available staffing, Chief Financial Officer Tammy Romo said Tuesday at a J.P. Morgan Chase industrial conference. Southwest still hopes to add 8,000 workers in 2022 on the way to hiring 25,000 over 3 years. Chief Executive Bob Jordan said his number one job is to hire enough people to stabilize the Dallas-based airline's operations. This is the local from the front obituaries page. This article is entitled DPS Arrests Five in Joint Human Trafficking Operations, from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. The Department of Public Safety reported Tuesday that five suspects were arrested and facing charges as a result of adult prostitution operations and online solicitation operations in Midland. Earlier this month, the Texas Department of Public Safety Criminal Investigation Division, CID, conducted the operations. The goal was to target individuals seeking to exploit and victimize trafficking victims, as well as to identify and apprehend individuals suspected to be involved in human trafficking by using various websites to solicit sexual acts, according to DPS. Multiple agencies assisted in these investigations, including DPS's CID and Texas Highway Patrol, Homeland Security Investigations, Ward County Sheriff's Office, and the DPS Intelligence and Counterterrorism Division. Those arrested and are facing charges were Enrique Halomo, 33, El Dorado, solicitation of prostitution, possession of marijuana. Jared J. Delgado, 28, Lubbock, solicitation of prostitution, possession of marijuana, possession of a controlled substance. Joe Lee Warnick, 51, Odessa, solicitation of prostitution. Jorge Alvarado, 42, Midland, solicitation of prostitution. And Timothy Scott, 41, Stanton, solicitation of prostitution. Special agents were also able to identify and open investigations into additional suspects. These investigations highlight the partnership between local, state, and federal law enforcement partners working together to combat human trafficking. If you are a victim of human trafficking or have information about this type of criminal activity, please contact the National Human Trafficking Hotline at 888-373-7888. This is the obituary column. Wednesday, March 16th. Annie Jewel Lowe. Annie Jewel Lowe was born February 6, 1935, She transitioned from this earth on March 11th, 2022. She was born in Malta, Texas in 1935. Annie Jewel Lowe was preceded in death by her parents, all her brothers and sisters, and her husband Leo Taylor. She later married Ivory Lowe Sr., who also preceded her in death, and also Danny R. Taylor and Nikki Taylor, her stepson and granddaughter. She leaves behind to cherish her memory 5 children, Angela Taylor, Shirley Taylor, Samuel Wade, Aubrey Taylor, Deborah Milton Suggs, and Judy Taylor. Annie had a host of grandchildren and 14 great-grandchildren. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Wells Funeral Home. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Janie Maximus Sines. On Sunday, March 13th, Janie Maximus Sines, 68 of Midland, left this world to be with our family in heaven. She was born on March 6, 1954, in Halfway, Texas. Janie was predeceased by her daughter, Cecilia Sines, granddaughter, Jane Sines, and grandson, Sebastian Ledesma. Survivors include her husband, Lupe Sines Sr., sons, James Ledesma, Lupe Sines Jr., Priscilla, Jason Sines, Wesley Sines, Lisa, daughter, Jennifer Sines, as well as 6 grandchildren. Viewing will be Wednesday, March 16th from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. Wednesday evening at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel, 405 North Terrell Street. Funeral Mass is set for Thursday, March 17th at 10 a.m. at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. A reception will be held after the burial. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to Pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Mauro Flores. Mauro Rodriguez Flores, 92, passed away at home surrounded by loved ones on March 13th. Mauro was born on December 14, 1929, to Ruben Flores and Jovita Rodriguez. On February 16, 1959, Mauro married Maria Zavala in Del Rio, Texas. They raised 2 daughters and 6 sons, Alfredo Penelber, Jovita Flores, Irma Reyes, Juan, Ruben Flores, Julia, Arturo Flores, Barbara, Mauro Flores Jr., Dana, and David Flores, Rose, and Jose Flores, Martina. He was blessed with 17 grandchildren, 40 great-grandchildren, and 16 great-great-grandchildren. Viewing will be held on Friday, March 18th from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Nally Picklin Wells Funeral Home. Mauro will be laid to rest with graveside services held on March 19th at 11 a.m. at Glenrest Cemetery in Big Lake. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, March 16th, 2022. Section A. Odessan Gets 2 Years in Child's Death, by Kim Smith. A 33-year-old Odessa man will be spending the next 2 years in a state jail facility after pleading guilty to criminally negligent homicide Tuesday in connection with the death of a 4-year-old girl in August 2019. According to an Ector County indictment, Charles Devon Cole was speeding, failed to stop, and struck another vehicle in which Elena Cruz Perales was a passenger. Cole, who pleaded guilty to the charge he was indicted on, received the maximum sentence possible. Elena's parents, Armida Ramirez and Eric Perales, filed a lawsuit against Cole and Bridgestone Retail Operations, doing business as Firestone Complete Auto Care, in Ector County District Court, November 2019. According to the lawsuit, Cole was working at Firestone Complete Auto Care and test driving a Ford F-250 pickup truck when he plowed into Elena's grandfather's stopped pickup truck at more than 65 miles an hour on FM 1882. The posted speed limit was 45. The lawsuit alleged Cole was texting in the seconds before the crash. Elena, who was in the child seat in the back seat of the truck, suffered a severe brain injury in the crash and was airlifted to University Medical Center in Lubbock, where she died the next day, according to the lawsuit. On February 7th, the lawsuit was dismissed with prejudice after the parties fully and completely compromised and settled, court documents state. B. Kent Buckingham, the attorney for Elena's parents, declined to comment on the dismissal Tuesday afternoon. UTPB announces new tuition assistance program by Michael Bauer. Undergraduates and soon-to-be students at the University of Texas Permian Basin are getting an extra boost with their college finances. On Tuesday, the university announced a new tuition assistance program, also known as Falcon Free. Falcon Free is part of the University of Texas System's $300 million endowment to expand tuition assistance programs at University of Texas institutions, also known as Promise Plus. The Promise Plus program provides tuition assistance to eligible students at 7 UT institutions, including UT Arlington, UT Dallas, UTEP, UTRGV, UT San Antonio, and UT Tyler. Falcon Free is a plan that covers the cost of tuition and mandatory fees for students who have limited family resources to pay for college at UTPB. The announcement was made at a pep rally at Falcon Dome, where the UTPB pep band, cheerleaders, and members of the student body were present. Chancellor of UT System James Milliken was also at the event and spoke, as well as UT System Board of Regents Chairman Kevin Eltif and UTPB President Sandra Woodley. Afterwards, Woodley, Eltif, and Milliken spoke to the members of the media, talking more about the assistance program. I would like to start by expressing my deep gratitude to the Board of Regents for this investment, Woodley said. It's transformational to our community. Over 70% of our families will qualify for free tuition and fees at this university, and this is something that has never happened before. So our ability to provide this opportunity to our community is really going to make a difference in the years to come. Some of the details about Falcon Free includes UTPB covering 100% of tuition and fees for families making $100,000 or less, starting in the fall of 2022. The funding is for current students, incoming freshmen, transfer students, and online students. Milliken says he is hopeful in the future that the program can be expanded to include graduate students who are continuing their education at a UT school. Falcon Free is also only for Texas residents. You have to be a Texas resident, and you have to be taking 12 hours and fill out your FAFSA, Woodley said. It's a generous investment, but it won't last forever. Get your application in as quickly as you can to make sure that all who apply can benefit from this amazing transformational program. Woodley talked about some of the obstacles that have kept people in the Permian Basin from pursuing a college education, which mostly includes financial reasons. We're not a particularly college-going population, Woodley said. There are a lot of reasons for that. Money is a big barrier to many people to be able to pursue university. So again, for students who will come, we have FAFSA nights during the first Tuesday of every month. That helps the students fill out their paperwork and make sure they get settled in. In West Texas, more than 70% of households have an average income below $100,000. UTPB's previous tuition assistance program covered $60,000 or less. Woodley says that while the money is generous, it is not unlimited. She talked about how students can apply for it. It's important that students apply early, Woodley said. The website is there. The UTPB website is where you can see the information on Falcon Free. It'll help you connect closely to our financial aid advisor and others who can help students get started. We have more scholarships and more money than we've ever had in our entire history, and it's going to be an amazing opportunity for our community to come and go to a college at a world-class university with the University of Texas education. UTPB student Brandon Lippert said the program is beneficial. Part of the reason I'm here is that I didn't have the financial support to pay for my education outright, Lippert said, who is also the drum major for the UTPB marching band and is the student body vice president. My mom has tons of student loans, and I come from a single-income household, so being able to remove one more barrier between someone like me and for other people, hopefully tens of thousands across the system, that'll be fantastic. That puts more talented individuals into the workforce to achieve what they've always wanted to achieve. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/2P9C5HZW. Healthcare Coming Soon to a Community Near You by Ruth Campbell. As a way to provide access to affordable healthcare for the Permian Basin and surrounding communities, Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center and the Permian Strategic Partnership have joined forces to start Medicine on the Move. The new mobile units will create an access point into primary care, mental health, and chronic disease management for rural patients across the basin by deploying telehealth technology to host a schedule of clinics, a news release said. The announcement of the venture was made by Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, PSP, and the Caring Foundation of Texas recently. The partnership and funding by PSP initially paved the way for the launch. This is an original adventure out of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, Permian Basin School of Medicine. And within the School of Medicine here, we have created a rural and community engagement unit. So that's the division, if you will, within the School of Medicine that is launching this, said Dr. Timothy Benton, Regional Dean of the School of Medicine. It's a partnership with PSP, Permian Strategic Partnership, who they worked with to get assistance and funding, but one of the vans is partnered with the Caring Foundation of Texas, which is a part of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas. The other van, which you haven't seen yet, will be a Texas Tech Physicians van, Benton said. We will equip it with telemedicine equipment and go out into community centers and offer basic primary care visits. The other van, in partnership with the Caring Foundation, will go to community centers, churches, and school districts, or whoever requests it. Benton said they will provide health screenings. They could focus on colon cancer screenings, provide breast cancer education screenings, or conduct diabetes screenings. He added that they can also deliver immunizations as part of the Texas Vaccines for Children program. Those vaccines are supplied by the state through the Department of State Health Services. The two of these together, they are meant to be points of access to care. We don't necessarily intend for them to be a patient's routine daily clinic, but a point to engage community patients where they are and perhaps reach people that have not been engaged with the healthcare system previously, Benton said. They could also partner regionally with existing practices and clinics. It's not just trying to stream those patients to Odessa. It's a regional partnership, Benton said. He added that the intent is to go throughout the Permian Basin, although they don't have an exact map yet. Plans are also to include southeastern New Mexico. Along with medical care, Benton said the idea is to engage with and build relationships with communities. It also is to meet people where they are and gather information to learn how they can better design healthcare delivery in the future. It fits within a broader movement from our Rural and Community Engagement Unit of Population Health, Benton said. He said he has always had an interest in community medicine, the newer term being population health. But this is no stranger to a family medicine clinic physician, which I am. Our foundation of family medicine was approaching people as a whole, not just as disease, approaching people from what is called the biopsychosocial model, and that we're not just biology, but we are mental health. We are also social, or we live within communities, and all of those affect our health, Benton said. He said health starts in people's homes and neighborhoods. Health begins at home, and so I've long desired to reach people before they get to the doctor's office to affect their health. That line of thinking and moving outside of the clinic walls led to conversations among various members of my circle in the School of Medicine, and then also conversations with the Permian Strategic Partnership. Those conversations led to learning about the Caring Foundation and the model that they had already in place in other places. And so that was sort of the origin of it. It was coming together and thinking about how to address healthcare needs, Benton said. COVID showed that the medical community needed to think bigger and broader in public health. Benton said that term has really migrated to what we call population health. Population health is the merger of primary care with public health. Public health often would focus toward infectious disease processes, but the health is broader than that. It's chronic disease management or preventive care, so primary care plus public health. The pandemic really just pointed out to us all that we need to think differently in how to meet the needs of the population. One of the vans is stuck in the supply chain, he said, but they will start rolling the one they have. There is no regular schedule yet, but it will probably start soon, he added. The plan to connect to community entities, whether it be charitable services, the food bank, if it be foster care related, churches, community clubs, community centers, Benton said. He added that it will be an interprofessional model that will reach across all of their schools. There may be times when students or faculty from the School of Nursing or students or faculty from the PA school and the School of Health Professions would be a part of it, or students and faculty from the School of Medicine, and we are reaching even across to other healthcare professional training institutions in the region. They could certainly jump on the bandwagon too, he said. Benton said they will figure out where to go through the connections they make. They have many already, but they are building new ones too. It's getting to know people. We have partners who are talking with the food bank and foster care and churches and schools. The school district is a good partner in this. We have been talking to them, he added. Quick hits. Lenten lunch and service. Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church, 1603 North Grandview, has scheduled Lenten midweek lunch and services from noon to 1 p.m. Wednesdays through April 6th. For more information, call 432-362-2549 or email office@faithfellowshipodessa.org. Carnival. Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway, has scheduled the Rites Amusement Carnival Thursday through March 27th. Carnival bands are $30. For times and more information, call 432-366-3541 or visit tinyurl.com/49RZ2SXZ. Blood Drive. Medical Center Health System has scheduled Share a Pint Blood Drive from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Thursday at the main admitting entrance. Sign up online at bloodhero.com. For questions, contact Susan Thornton at 432-640-2347 or email sthornton@echd.org. National Quilt Month Film Series. The Ellen Knoll Art Museum, 4909 East University, has scheduled National Quilt Month Film Series at 6 p.m. Thursdays. Thursday, Paducah, Kentucky Quilt Fever. March 24th, Bisa Butler Quilt Portraits, G's Bend Quilters. March 31st, Ken Burns Quilt Collection. There will be short videos of famous quilt artists, quilt events, and quilt collections. Admission is free. For more information, visit knollartmuseum.org. Citizens on Patrol. The Odessa Police Department is currently taking applications for the next Citizens Police Academy. Application deadline is Friday. Classes will begin March 31st. There is no registration fee, and the Odessa Police Department will provide all classroom materials. For application or more information, visit odessa-tx.gov/480/citizens-police-academy. Fish Fry Yays. Knights of Columbus, number 3203, and Daughters of Mary have scheduled Fish Fry Yays fundraiser from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. each Friday during Lent, except for Good Friday, March 25th. At St. Mary's Catholic Church Cafeteria, 618 East 18th. Plates are $12 each. For more information, call 432-332-5334. Fish Fry and Food Drive. Knights of Columbus, 17679, has scheduled a Fish Fry and Food Drive from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday and April 1st at Holy Redeemer Parish Hall, 2633 Conover. The menu will include fried fish, coleslaw, hush puppies, cornbread dessert, and drink. Plates are $12 or support the House of Mercy $10 a plate when two non-perishable items are donated. Visit koc17679.now.site/home. Permian Basin Comic Con X and Anime WTX. Permian Basin Comic Con X and Anime WTX has been scheduled Friday through Sunday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail in Midland. Doors open at 5 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. Saturday, and 11 a.m. Sunday. For tickets or information, visit pbcomicconx.com. Pancake Breakfast Fundraiser. The West Odessa Volunteer Fire Department, 2757 North Trip, has scheduled a pancake breakfast fundraiser from 6 a.m. to around 11 a.m. Saturday. Cost is $5 per plate. Donations are more than appreciated. Silver Spur Gun and Blade Show. Silver Spur Gun and Blade Show has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday at the Ector County Coliseum, Building G, 4201 North Andrews Highway. Admission is $8 for adults and free for ages 12 and under. Cash admission at the door. For information, visit silverspurtradeshows.com/shows. Boomtown Trade Days. Boomtown Trade Days has been scheduled from noon to 3 p.m. Saturday at the Ector County Coliseum, Barn A, 4201 Andrews Highway. Visit tinyurl.com/2p9xx5pn. Kings of the West. Kings of the West has been scheduled with headliner Ice Cube Saturday at the Bill Ayler Senior Memorial River Stage, 16 East Avenue A, San Angelo. Gates open at 3 p.m. Featured entertainers will also include Slim Thing, Paul Wall, K-Street Poppin', Zap, Cypress Hill, Two Shot, Frankie J, Baby Bash, and DJ Cazzle and Big Jade. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/38n3yk4h. Neighborhood Watch Meeting. Odessa Police Department, 205 North Grant, has scheduled a neighborhood watch meeting from 7 to 9 p.m. March 22nd in the OPD classrooms. The Neighborhood Watch program was designed to keep citizens informed of activity occurring in their neighborhoods by forming watch groups within their neighborhoods. It's a neighbor helping neighbor program that has assisted in reducing crime within our community. This program is an alliance between the citizens of Odessa and law enforcement. Citizens become the extra set of eyes and ears for law enforcement, reporting suspicious activity to police, along with working together to resolve problem areas. For more information, call Corporal Steve Lesser at 432-335-3361 or Corporal Michael Hamilton at 432-335-3322. A Texas Tribute. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale will present A Texas Tribute with conductor Gary Lewis, 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 in Midland. Bob and Kelly Phillips of the Texas Country Reporter will join in to celebrate the Lone Star State with the symphony. The evening will include Texas tunes, history, humor, and more. Tickets are $32 to $52, and students are $8. For tickets or information, visit mosc.org. Man charged with choking, punching girlfriend. An Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed a 37-year-old man was arrested after he choked and punched his 27-year-old girlfriend. Pedro Israel Marquez, Jr., 37, was charged with assault by strangulation, family violence, a third-degree felony. The reported assault happened at 12:47 a.m. March 13th in the unit block of Brittany Lane, the affidavit stated. When officers arrived, they didn't get an answer at the door. Dispatch detailed to officers the victim, later identified as 27-year-old Karina Hernandez, stated she couldn't breathe, so officers used forced entry. Once officers made contact with Marquez, they reported he was belligerent toward officers and uncooperative, the affidavit stated. Officers say they spoke with Hernandez about the incident, and at that time, she stated that she has been dating Marquez for about a year and a half. Hernandez also stated that she and Marquez got into an argument due to Marquez drinking. Hernandez stated the argument turned physical. Hernandez stated once the argument turned physical, Marquez began to punch her in the back of the head using a closed fist, the affidavit detailed. Hernandez stated she called 911, and once she called 911, Marquez began to choke her. Hernandez also told police that while officers were knocking on the door of the residence, Marquez was on top of her, and he began to apply pressure to her neck using both of his hands. Hernandez stated that due to the applying pressure, she couldn't breathe. Marquez was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center March 13th, jail records show. He has one bond totaling $25,000 and posted bail March 14th.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.